The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to the final episode of the EvoStick NPL show for the 2016-17 season. This is the audio equivalent of a little ribbon, little bow on the end of what's been a very beautiful season. And joining me to discuss just how beautiful it is, a selection of equally beautiful people. Aaron Flanagan is here from the Trinity Mirror. Hello.
Hello.
We've got Andrew Simpson from the Manchester Guardian.
Are you obliged to say the word Trinity Mirror? Can you just say the mirror?
I don't know which arm of the Trinity Mirror group he's a part of.
Well, you should maybe.
There's an election coming up, so he could be poultry division, couldn't there?
Good point, well made.
Thank you.
You can nod at me.
We've got Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
Hello. We've got Roy Sewell, Mr. Non-League.
Good evening.
We've got Swampy here from the Non-League show, sponsored by Pichero.
Good evening, Ben. Pichero! Pichero!
We've got James Hayes here from somewhere or other.
Might as well say Radcliffe, but everyone knows anyway.
From social media officer for the league. Here he is, James Hayes.
Eventually. Hello.
And making his debut, would you like to introduce yourself in that Robin-esque microphone there?
Well, my name's Richard and I'm a volunteer worker with Altrincham Football Club, so I'm not particularly excited about talking about last season.
Richard, you're more than welcome, Richard. It's a well-known fact in non-league circles that, sure, relegation is painful, but relegation to the Northern Premier League is beautiful because you get this beautiful podcast celebrating your club. But anyway,
Someone from the Southern League did mention that this week, that the podcast is a delight to his ears, like what the Southern League do, which is basically nothing.
Good. Anyway.
That doesn't say a great deal, does it? There's nothing down there. This is much better. How's that a compliment?
So, in the next half,
the award winning.
Eating hot.
Hey! Later in the show, we're going to be discussing Division 1 North and South. And
Ben, before you go,
yeah?
Where's Berkey?
Oh, we should say a big congratulations to Mr. Ian Burke and his better half for... I had no idea he was married, but congratulations on your anniversary. They're over in Ireland.
Ben,
so.
they've been
married for 13 years.
13 years.
They've been together for 20 years.
20 years.
And what they've done is they've actually gone back to the very first place they went away together.
Dublin.
Over to Dublin, yes. I'm not sure if they're actually both in Dublin anymore. I've heard that Eleanor is possibly up in Belfast and Berkey's in Bray just wandering round. Because I think there was a talk of maybe catching a game over there. And I think that has probably been the death nail of their relationship.
Well,
20 years.
20
of
years
beauty.
Of good effort.
20 years.
Good effort. Now, anyway, so we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing Division 1, North and South later in the show, but we're going to focus on the Premier Division for the next half an hour or so, just discussing just the season that's just gone. Obviously, it's a rare thing that's happened this past fortnight. The top two in all three divisions has gone up, so there's no one who can feel that hard done by necessarily. That said, there's a lot of disappointed teams and club officials and managers in that top half of the table. And we should start really with Stourbridge. And you've described them, Swampy, as the team of the year.
Yeah.
For the FA Cup exploits, they've come ever so close. They've crammed in loads of games this season, done remarkably well, but they fell at the final hurdle.
They have fallen at the final hurdle, but they'll be very, very proud of the season they've had. They've increased their capacity supporting-wise tremendously. They've got a national focus on them as a football club. They'll be one of those teams next year that people will be looking, when you see the FA Cup draw, even in the preliminary round, seeing how they're getting on. Financially, they're going to be really stable for next year as well now, which is fantastic for them. They can bring in some good quality players, some additional players, which you'd expect them to do so. They're finishing third position on 85 points, and you know they played maybe, as we will talk about, a number of clubs sometimes thick and fast. Let's not forget the Northern Premier Division is the division that finishes like that. There's no, you've got an extension, there's no opportunity, you've got to play your games within a certain frame of time, and basically that's what they've done. And I think they've still played superbly. They've sold players as well that are going to league football and Premier League football, which again is testament to what they've done. And let's not forget, we hadn't really heard of them hugely until three seasons ago, really, within the Northern Premier. They've always been a well-known synonymous club in the Midlands. However, the Northern Premier, they're going to be a real, real team to contend with next season.
They've actually improved on what they did last year as well.
And they struggled first season though in the league. They finished bottom half, not that far from the relegation place. And as you say, every year they've got better and better and better. And actually, and as you've said as well, the crowds have soared as well. And obviously that's partly down to the cup run. But they've just got bigger and bigger as a club. There seems to be a real buzz about them. And they should actually take a lot of confidence going into next season.
And you've all touched upon it. The FA Cup runs they've had, the crowds increasing. Gary Hackett's got to have an increased budget next year. And they've got to go for it, haven't they? There's no doubt about it, surely.
Early favourites, aren't they? Surely.
I don't know about early favourites. I'd say they're up there.
Someone around this table may not agree with you. We'll be talking to him shortly.
I'd say there's maybe three teams that could, be in the shout for the championship.
Don't jump ahead.
But what I would say is Stourbridge. At this end of the day, they did come in. They've accustomed themselves to it. They lost a few players last season. When you think about the forward line that they had. The forward line was outstanding. I had a few years on the clock, a few miles on the clock. But what I would say is that they overrode that loss of experience and efficiency, and brought a couple of lads in, obviously. And like Swampy said there, sold a couple on as well, got really, and they still kept that continuity. But what they did from last year to this year, I felt was that they had that sustainability.
Yeah.
When they went out of the cup, they've actually carried on that sort of run.
Because that was our question, wasn't it, when they did get out of the cup?
They've carried on that run right the way through to the last game of the season, whereas last year they just fell away, a little bit away and faltered a couple of times.
The other thing to bear in mind is the teams in and around them this season have had particularly good seasons as well. Yeah. We Blythe especially. And
well, they finished third. Therefore, if you take Blyth and Spennymoor out of the equation,
there are teams that the points have been very high this season. Ben. There's no need to ridicule me.
No, I'm not ridiculing you.
Into that is there's a few teams underneath them that have had exceptional seasons.
Yeah.
Definitely. Will they be able to do that again next season? I think that's what places Stourbridge really well.
Look at the hole in the top ten. Let's take Blythe out of the equation, because a lot of people were on the table at the start of the season were saying they'd be up there.
Berkey was wrong, by the way. He wasn't 10 points. Just to be clear.
Fair enough.
Rubbish,
maybe
Rubbish.
Spending more with one or two people. But you look at the top 10.
You look at the likes of Grantham up there. Matt Locker had an indifferent season last year and settled down and built foundations.
That was the main story about this season, about how consistent everyone was.
Yeah,
it was superb.
So all credit to the people that run the clubs, and also the managers and the coaching staff, put the efforts into getting the standard of play up to a decent level.
That said, one team who weren't consistent all the way through the season was Workington. They were consistently inconsistent. I think John Walsh described it. They were an awful
10-game period there where they were winning and they were getting hammered, and then they were drawing, then they were getting leathered again. But all credit to them. Over the last six games, they hit a nice little rhythm, didn't they? There's always going to be one team that comes out of the pack that will. Hit those playoff spots, and they were the team. I personally felt it might have been.
They went to the playoffs actually with the best record. I think they won 8 games on the bounce. Normally finish quite strongly. They had that blip, and we looked at Workington last season. Yeah. I mean, they have been the runners up. In a Curzon way.
Both
Curzon and FC United had very similar situations where they're runners up, not quite getting there. And Workington this season, I think we all thought, I certainly did last season, thought they were a team that would be right up there.
Yeah.
And, they've just been picked. There was too many games. I think they played four or six games in 8 days.
They played 18 games in 4 weeks or something. That's a made-up stat, but it sounded real, didn't it?
It took its toll. It certainly took its toll. But they're a team that they're not going to ever give up the opportunity to get into the Conference North.
We mentioned Workington there. The team who finished fifth was Nantwich Town, and this is a good opportunity, I feel, to bring in Richard here, because you've nabbed their management team.
We have indeed.
So, just to say, Phil Parkinson and Neil Savelle, quality management duo, have done a lot for that club. What's the expectations for Altrincham coming into this season with into next season?
Well,
with
as
that
a club, we're moving into the unknown slightly. We're in unknown territory to an extent. I was lucky enough to speak to Neil and Phil at Tamworth on Saturday. Two very, very positive fellas. They're quite eager to move their own careers forward. I think maybe they might have been feeling that Nantwich is as far as they took them as far as they could go. Opportunity arose at Altrincham, big club in the league, and lots of things are going to be happening there. You know, the chairman's already announced that they're going to dip into the cash reserves of the club to ensure they're getting the best squad that they can in that league. Although there's one downside, because Damien Reeves announced last night on Twitter that he's not carrying on with Altrincham next season, so that's going to be a big miss.
And Richard said something there that they felt that maybe they took Nantwich as far as they could.
I hasten to add, that's not what they told me.
But
you just look at how the career path is going.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Right.
No.
You're saying yes, Aaron's saying no. Right, we'll go with no first. Go on, Aaron.
I just feel that with the money that they've spent, I know for a fact that some of the offers they've made for players, they've got the finances there to push on further than where they are now. And I'd actually argue that maybe they've underachieved a little bit in the league over the past 2 years. What exactly that's down to, I'm not sure. I know they had a great trophy run, which I spoke to Swampy off air before, and we both agreed that hampered them last season. This season, they've only actually really sneaked into the playoffs when they should have really done it at Cancer. And
I remember talking to Phil last season about the target, and the target was to knock on the door of the playoffs last season. The target this season was to get in the playoffs. Surely then the target, if they'd stayed, would be promotion.
I think Aaron forgets one thing, in fairness,
for next year.
Spennymoor are very, very wealthy.
I'm not saying they're underachieving.
But what you're saying is the cash rich, they've had money put in there, but so have Spennymoor, so have Stourbridge, and so have Workington. So the teams above them have all put lots of money in this season. They haven't underachieved, I don't believe, in any way, shape or form. I think, as Ben rightly says, they knocked on the door last season. This season they've got into there. They want to achieve the ultimate by being promoted. I think it's a very, very canny move from Altrincham, because they've got a manager and a management team that are on the up, that know what they're doing, and manage a good club at Nantwich. Yeah. And now they're going to another football club. But the one thing people remember about Altrincham is Altrincham aren't poor. They've got money to spend, and they will be able to. And I think it's the next level for them. And any manager, really, if you get the offer on the table of Altrincham Football Club, as big a club as they are, you're going to look at it. And then they made three or four very bad decisions recently at Altrincham in management, and it just didn't work out. On paper, good appointments just didn't work. They're now going for someone who's been doing well over a period of time, bringing a good group of people in there, and they'll kick on. So I feel sorry in a way for Nantwich, because they're going to lose a great manager.
I just want to say, with as far as Altrincham's recent appointments can obviously.
So Jim Harvey was a good appointment. He's got all the hallmarks that we're looking for. He'd got Halifax out of the relegation almost.
Yeah.
It was the last game of the season again. He got them to the trophy.
Yeah, I think they won.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
the next FC United player scoring the winning
goal. And Jim, if you look back, could have been unlucky to lose his job there.
Yeah, possibly.
We'll come back to Altrincham in a second, but just to finish off Nantwich.
I think this is their second best ever season. Right? They finished runners up once in the Premier Division a few years back, so they are at the highest point they've ever been. I think we also need to remember where they were when Phil Parkinson came in. When Danny Johnson left, they were in serious mire at the bottom of the table. And he deserves untold credit for the job that he's done there. I really fear for them now. You suspect that the better players, the best players, will end up at Altrincham, I'm sure. And it's very much a team that he's assembled, and it's their next appointment is really important now, because they don't want to make a backward step. And I think you're right. I think the resources are there for whoever gets the job, but they've been there for other managers there, and it's not happened for them. And also, I mean, I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but you know, on the crowds that they get as well, I do think this is their ceiling. And it would have been fascinating to see what would have happened if Nantwich had won the playoffs. Would Phil have made the decision that he's made? I don't know. I mean, we'll never know. But they are certainly one to watch next season.
One thing that Phil did bring to the table, and this is where you can come in, was that connection with crew. Did a very good job of building that relationship up with the town next door's football club. Can that carry on for Nantwich? It surely can, can't it?
Yeah, it will do, to be honest. Nantwich have always had, you know, a fairly close association with crew, and crew, you know, welcome it. What I will say is that, you know, it's not personalities as well. You know,
because he had that background already.
Well, he's a great fit.
Yeah.
You've got Neil Sorville as well, who's the next crew player. You know, so and he spent a decent few years there. You know, he was there while I was there. He won't be forgotten. He's got a class on him as a player, and he will have definitely learned stuff, you know, from the coaching staff that have come through, you know, under Dario Gradi as well. So, you know, there's ticks all around there.
Yeah.
One to throw in for me, and I'm not sure if he's back in football at this moment in time, Steve Davis, who obviously was there, then been at crew. It wouldn't surprise me if Nantwich looked back to that manager to bring him back, to the club, carry on that tradition with crew, and also take him to the next step. Because he's obviously had three seasons now, isn't it?
Yeah.
At crew, didn't quite work out for him. And for me, that would be the perfect fit for Nantwich to have that old manager back. But I think that'd be a right fit for the football club again, because I think he wants to get back into football, and that would be the perfect fit for him.
Now, have Nantwich made any noises about rushing this? Are they going to take the time? There is no rush, is there? I mean,
I don't think they'll be short of applicants. It's just...
Just to say about Altrincham then, and finish this Phil Parkinson loving, if we can. I like Phil, by the way. Altrincham, and when we've discussed Altrincham coming down, because we have been discussing that prospect for a while. Sorry, Richard. A lot of teams who come out of the National League North go straight through. Corby being a prime example, Hyde United, Drolsden, Stafford, Colwyn Bay, Lancaster.
Filling with confidence, why don't you?
No. but there are teams who haven't, Hensford, for example, and Workington. But Altrincham here, you've gone for this management duo. It's going to be... Do you feel it's the right appointment at the right time for the club to bounce straight back?
We've just gone straight through Conference North, or National North, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But I think, going back to Phil Parkinson's appointment, I think that's something that was urgently needed, somebody like that. We've tried Jim Harvey, Neil Young, Matt Doughty, and it hasn't worked. So we really needed somebody, I think, a bit younger, up and coming, with a decent career record behind them.
And
can I just finish off the point I was kind of making earlier? I did want to say, when I was going through all the other managers, while I do feel that Nantwich maybe could have pushed on a bit further, this is actually quite an exciting appointment for Altrincham.
It is.
It's a gamble. I do think it's a little bit of a gamble, but out of all the appointments they've had in recent years, this is probably the most exciting of them. Yeah.
All appointments are a gamble.
Now, there's another team coming down from the National League North, which we might as well discuss now. Stalybridge Celtic are also on the way down. What do you think?
Well, if they keep Steve Burr,
yeah.
They'll be okay. Whether Steve wants to come down to that division, I'm not quite sure.
Sounds like he's staying.
It does at this moment in time, but pre-season, a lot of things can change. I mean,
he's going to be the two relegated sides who are the strongest to come out of the National League North.
I think they could possibly be the strongest to go back up again.
That's what I mean, because that's not happened. Since we've done that never happened.
But I think the one thing you've got to think about I think Altrincham and Stalybridge, I mean, I think they're two totally different kettles of fish. I can see, and it's no disrespect at all to Stalybridge Celtic, but I think Stalybridge Celtic will be settled once, if it goes through, they have a new ground built. I think they're going to have trials and tribulations over the next season or so. If they can keep some of the players, if they keep Steve Burr, then they've got a good chance. But if they don't, I can see another doubt. I can see free fall. I can't see that with Altrincham, because I think the management team they brought in, stable, financially well backed in the respect of that they can afford to bring the certain players that they want in. But I think really it's all about Steve Bruce. If Steve stays, yeah, they'll be okay. Yeah. I think they'll finish mid-table. I think they will be wanting to settle until they move into the new ground if it comes
I'm right in saying this. It would be unimaginable for a club like Altrincham or Stalybridge to make that trip like Stafford Rangers made a couple of years ago.
No,
it has been done.
I mean,
you mean in the current circumstances?
Yes.
I think so. The only thing I'd say about Bury is he's not managed at this level for a long, long time. He's not been, you know, he's been operating much higher. Well, no players much higher. I'm not saying he hasn't seen step three games, but the Northern Premier League's probably changed since he was the last a manager in it.
Nothing's set in stone, and I believe they still intend for next season to keep the budget reasonably high and go for it. They believe they're a National League North side, and that they are, from what I can gather, going for it.
That's my belief, though. The budget. If the budget's there, then Steve can bring the players in that he's already accustomed to, and I don't see that being a problem if the budget's there.
Now let's move on now to
the real
heroes of this past
pitch
season.
Pitch heroes?
No, not pitch heroes. Whitby Town, Buxton, Grantham, Matlock Town. To certain degrees, I've surprised a lot of people this season. For Whitby and Buxton to be in the playoffs for so long during the season. And for Grantham, just the fact that they played 30 games before anyone else did, pretty much by October, and they stayed up there right until the end, and got to the Dudeson final as well.
Sweet one, with Buxton, is anyone actually that surprised? Because they've done it a few times, haven't they? Been up there, hung on for a while, and just kind of...
I do remember.
We spoke about Nantwich going that one step further. Haven't Buxton gone that one step further this year? Because they normally fade away a lot sooner than they have.
I think they're a little bit unlucky that it's a really, really strong league. Because 78 points is not a bad... A little bit unlucky to have the strength in depth that there is in the division this season. I think, again, not got numbers in front of me, on a fair few other seasons prior to this one, that would have been enough to finish fifth. So a little bit lucky.
And next season they've got the 3G pitch, of course.
Well, yeah.
Dublin has a ski slope apparently in winter. Or Sewell's idea. It's a good idea.
Was a good
idea.
Which way is it going though?
That's true.
straight out of the police station.
For Whitby as well, Whitby have been superb all season. Mm-hmm. And when you look at performances this season for turnarounds, I think Whitby Town have definitely been very, very impressive, and Chris Hardy's done a superb job.
I think if you go back to the start of the season where we did all the early prediction stuff, most of us had Whitby in the bottom four.
They deserve, you know why they deserve to be in the next division? Because they've got a phenomenal stand. That's a Football League stand, and for that reason only, forget the football, they need to be in the Football League because of that stand. It's amazing.
I think what we're talking about with these four teams here is that they did run out of puff towards the end of the season. Can you see any of those four learning from this past season and kicking on next
again?
Well, no, because we went to see Matlock Town, didn't we, against Spennymoor, and the feeling with the media crew there at Matlock was they've just run out of steam. Is there any way of improving that on a budget that, say, Matlock have got?
They can if they keep the foundations that they've already built there, and hopefully, you know, nab a couple of players from local areas nearby, then there's no reason why they can't build on it. I just go down to the same thing, you know, that I talk about year in and year out. It's about that consistency level of being able to bang it out and keep those squads. You're not just talking about 11 players on the field. You're talking about squad. You're talking about a squad of maybe 18 to 20 players, and that might sound a lot, but you're looking at a good 16 of a similar quality, and then you need the other four that can come in and step in if and when, you know, don't forget these lads are working, you know, shifts and doing the day work and then travelling, you know, through the early evening to come back late evening. So, you know, that's what it's all about, the depth of the squads.
Yeah. I think that's the same there with Whitby. If they can keep the core of the team together, and from what Dale Hobson was saying at the awards when I interviewed him, the majority of them have up for a challenge.
And then there's Warrington and Stafford Rangers.
And I think both of those clubs would agree that they've not necessarily had the seasons they would have liked.
They have to do better next year.
They have to do better next year.
Do you think so from a Warrington perspective?
Yes. I did say Warrington wouldn't. With the support, the backing the manager will have, they have to do better next season, let's put it that way.
In between Warrington and Stafford, I've missed two clubs, Ashton United and Rush Olympic. Ashton have had a big transitional season, let's call it that. It could go one of two ways, I suppose. Well, one of three, maybe they'll just stay where they are.
Well, I think they probably... They punched them off their weight for so long. A season like this was due eventually, wasn't it, I think? Mm. I'm not saying they had a bad season, but...
Through no fault of their own.
Yeah, yeah.
They lost the management team. And they maybe felt... The club I'm on about maybe felt that it was done not in a nice way.
I think you're right.
What they've done is they the lads that came in, Will and Jody, they stabilised the club. Yeah,
that's a build it from scratch, essentially.
They're more than happy, I should imagine, the club itself, meaning the board and the committee, happy with the position that they've ended up in the league, considering that the two lads, you know, Philo and Steve, took 3/4 of the team.
That was the point, yeah.
You know, so the fact is, like, you know, I don't think they can have any gripes, and I don't feel they will have. And I know Will Aining has dropped out now of the managership, like, you know, so they're a good mid-table team, and they'll be a solid mid-table team.
I think they've actually done really well, because when they first took over, they were on a real slide. They were... I was thinking these could get dragged into the relegation battle.
Yeah,
and if they finish 11th and with some decent results,
that's a great one.
Yeah, really impressive second half of the season, given everything that's happened.
6 points off the playoffs.
Just I missed off a side who when I was talking about Warrington and Stafford needs to do better. I missed off Hensford.
They absolutely do as well. Yeah.
And obviously they've had three management changes in the season. That's never a good thing. They need to do better as well, surely.
They will.
Losing Liam McDonald killed them, because he's actually had an all right start to the season. You know,
they were fifth, weren't they?
They were doing fine. You know, he'd started to rebuild the team there, and that's just absolutely killed the season, and they've never recovered.
I think with the fans' question that I normally ask at the last show, obviously I don't know if we're going to do it this year or not. I think a lot of people will say what I think they're going to say, but about potential underperformance for the year.
Hensford.
Potentially, I don't know if people are going to say, but obviously we'll leave
Stafford
on. At this point,
I think John at Rushall would be very upset with you that you left him out as well.
I was about to mention Rushall again. With Rushall, and I was going to throw in Barwell as well.
Oh, well, Rushall done really well. There was a big boost to fill there. Rushall had been...
With Rushall, it was Alex Reid leaving. That's what did it for him.
Yeah, guys killed their season.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is...
Because they were playoff contenders until Christmas.
There's big managers in there working that football club. They've done really well over the last two or three seasons. Listen, they'll be contending. For me, there's no question Stafford Rangers will be contending next season. Hensford are a team that have to be right up there, Ben. That's it. Barwell!
Jimmy Ginnelly's done it again. They've
from where they've come from to where they are now, have done tremendously well. And again, next season, what would people find? Where are they finishing the division next season? Everyone will find it a tough place to go to. Simple as that. They always put a fight, work hard for the manager, and Ginnelly's done absolutely tremendously well.
And speaking of doing tremendously well, just to mention for Michelover Sports, I think they've finished, haven't they? Didn't they finish the league season as one of the most informed teams
league?
They're top five, I think, or something. They've had a cracking season. They've ebbed and flowed.
They've defied a lot of people's expectations as well. They've
got to be quite good when they actually lose their assistant manager and he goes to a Premier League club. And he's working alongside Harry Redknapp. You know, it shows the quality there of that football club.
And just a mention for Colville Town as well. Colville's first season at this level, Tommy Brookbanks there has done a
survival, loads of goals, good season,
and a good season as well.
Strangely,
can I say this without being too controversial? A good season-ish for Marine, considering everything that's gone on.
Well, the way they finished
in the end, because for me that was one that I was pleased that they moved up away from danger. I know Tommy's took a few of his players, you know, from Skem, had a little bit of stability. They believe in him, he believed in them.
Hales are in town.
It's a disappointing season, but they just managed to avoid getting dragged in. Their problem all season, and they need to fix it next season, didn't score enough goals.
And for some, Coalfield, they just have to make sure they don't get the pitch relayed, I think, at the start of the season.
Well, they did great to get out of it, didn't they? Yeah.
He was only there for 5 months, Mr. Sneakers. He's got the calibre, the quality. He can do what he did when he was at Rushall, and he can take that club further and further and further. They will be, for me, I'm not doing it tonight, but they will be one of my sneaky contenders to be right up there for next season.
My goodness, right. And just four more teams to mention, just to throw into the mix for next season, who've done remarkably well, and then we can all go for a beer. Firstly, from Division 1 North, Lancaster City and Farsley Celtic, first and second again. Are any of them going to make a big impact like Curzon Ashton did or FC United did? Is that going to happen?
I don't think it's going to be the same as it was been the last couple of years, where the two from the north have gone, well, the teams from the north have gone straight up again the season after.
I think Farsley will be all right. Whether they'll be right up there, I don't know, but I think they'll hold their own.
I
think
the. With the four teams that are going to come up, they're going to make that middle block even harder and more condensed, closer to those playoff spots.
I'm not sure whether the first time in a while, whether
it'll be from Division 1 South.
Division 1 South is where your stronger teams are going to come from, because traditionally the northern teams are the stronger ones. Mm. But you've got to look at Shore Lane and Witten after the season that they've had, and
I'd say more so Shore Lane because of finances.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would say Witten, possibly because of the management appointments rather than the financial clout. I mean, Witten play football, Shore Lane play a certain type of football.
Do you see any of the four doing a kind of, I'm trying to think of a good example, but someone like Michelover Sports last season or Colville, where for a while it was looking like they were going to get dragged into it.
Lancaster have got to rebuild fast. They've already lost Jordan Connerton for next year, who's going to Australia.
They beat Darlington, didn't they? They nearly beat Kidderminster. So
yeah, but we saw 3 weeks ago, Ben, and Prescott Cable's absolutely mulled them.
I agree, Connerton is a real big blow for them. What they have got, though, obviously, is the links with the Myerscope College, obviously. A lot of talented lads coming through. They'll just be just as young, just as hungry. There's potential of a whole fresh batch of young lads coming through. Right. And it really depends on what
quality exactly comes through. And
that is the end of part one. 53-minute recording there, which will be edited down to a mere 30 minutes. Coming up in a second, we're going to be discussing Division 1, but it's now time to head over to the bar. So if you've got your own bar at home, head over to that bar. If not, imagine us heading to the bar. We'll be back in a minute.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick NPL show, the final one of the 2016-17 season. We've covered off in some great depth the NPL Premier Division. It's now time to look at Division 1 North and Division 1 South. Because Andrew Simpson's there, we'll start with Division 1 South. We'll be fair like that. We're obviously, Charlene have gone, Witten have gone. That leaves a lot of questions for next season. Spalding, can they make it 3 years on the trot where they get into the playoffs? Stocksbridge Park Steels, can they build on that phenomenal run that they've had in the second part of the season? What about Rushden Diamonds? Are they going to be in the league? Are they going to be joined by Corby? Who knows? Does anyone know?
But I don't think they do think they're going to be in the league. I think they are expecting another sideways shunt, which would be a shame.
Well,
I think their ground share is a little bit further south, so I would say that's probably an inevitability. Spalding, the challenge for them is to keep the team together. I think they're pretty well resourced. Yeah. I think Chris Rollington's got a good chance of doing that. I think they probably would start as early favourites next season. Stocksbridge, my big fear for them is their best players are going to get picked off, and they've got some fantastic young players there. If Chris Hilton can keep that team together, then he's done really, really well. Do you think he will? I think there's some players there who just can't play at this level any longer.
To be honest, I think Stocksbridge have had a few seasons out of the Northern Prem now. They've done really, really well this season. They've come up out of nowhere and had a great finish of the season. And I think he'll want to say, you know what, I'll keep these players and they're going to be up there for one of the favourites, because they were always a mid-table team in the Northern Premier Division, but they'll want to be back in the Northern Prem. The local tours, the travelling will help them be back at the Northern Prem, I think, as well.
Yeah.
It's a cracking ground, a cracking place to be and watch football as well. But the great cricket club.
If we're talking about favourites, Baseford United, they have to be, don't they? I mean,
the tragedy for Baseford is
they were targeting the playoffs this year.
Well, they finished fourth last season, but they would have been in the playoffs without a 3-point deduction.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. Yeah. And so that is painful beyond belief. I saw Baseford a couple of times this season, and they on me watching other teams, they were easily among the top five teams in the league, and I'm a little bit surprised they didn't quite get over the line, but they've had two really good seasons now at this level, so I would expect them to challenge.
Last day of the season they had the pressure of basically winning 6-0 against Newcastle for the playoffs, but I mean passed them 6-0, so you can see the intent there.
And that you mentioned Newcastle there, we'll go in League Town at the same time.
Have to be this season for me. League Town have to be up there.
You
say that every year, though.
Yeah,
I'd say the
three
teams.
They have been up there every year, apart from this year. This is the first season they've been actually in the position they are. They've always been there
with
there
it a little bit, haven't they? They've teetered with it a little bit. Looking at League, Lincoln, and Newcastle.
Lincoln being
part of the playoff sort of setup.
I mean, with Lincoln,
what's Stamford? They have massively underachieved this season, and they would.
I think just you mentioned Lincoln there. I think Lincoln will, to a degree, will actually be buoyed on by the fact that Lincoln City have been promoted. The Crowley brothers have done a tremendous job in the Football League, and I think that has a knock-on effect sometimes in the town. Lincoln United, I think, will be right up there next season.
They had a brilliant second half of the season as well. So
Also, we should mention as well, Bedworth United, they're an interesting one because they moved over with Rushden and Diamonds. Are they going to be shunned back to the Southern League?
I don't know.
It's going to be a couple of weeks before we find out properly, because we don't know.
I want answers, though, James. I want answers now.
It's down in the day, it's not the league decision, it's down to the FA to do plus one weeks. We don't want to have a league thing, Colwyn Bay.
Kidsgrove needs to have a much better season as well. They spent a lot of money on that team this season.
Apart from the teams we mentioned, then, is there anyone else who you reckon will be looking?
Chasetown.
They need a good season.
Massively underachieved this season.
Yeah, massively underachieved.
There will be a team. I mean, the Southern Division is a very, very interesting division, you know, because a lot of the teams you'd expect to really achieve haven't this season at all. I mean, Sheffield FC, again, a team with great history and tradition.
I don't know, though. That this has been the best season Sheffield's had for a while.
With the teams, you know, like Sheffield, my feelings are that they need to show a little bit of loyalty and patience with some of their managerial appointments. You know, they chop and change a little bit. With chop and change, you don't really get a good little bit of continuity. And that not only shows in results, but possibly in your player turnover as well. So you've got a large player turnover. You'll struggle to find that consistency.
Well, they've already got it as well, because the manager's already moved on to Handsworth for next season. I can't remember who.
Well,
I don't know if we've got anyone else in it.
Mark Hume is the new manager, isn't he?
That's it. So again, there's another person who's used to
the knowledge around this table.
I know, it's scary at times, it really is.
You know,
I'm on the ball nowadays.
You look at Chasetown. Chasetown again have had you know, decent history within the FA Cup. You know, they've had decent runs where they've reached the first round and things like that. You know, which is sound. What they need to do is rekindle those forgotten memories and build on something. You
they
know,
weren't a
nice
team.
And strong.
They weren't a team though that were 17th. I know they did finish 17th, but for a lot of last season, we were covering them when they were having the cup exploits and that kind of thing. Just to throw in a couple of new teams into Division One, it's going to be difficult because obviously we're losing Witten, we're losing Northwich Victoria as well. So there's going to be
for different reasons, and
obviously the cut off for Division One South is going to be an interesting one. Ilkeston probably will be in Division One South. I don't think anyone
very likely obviously from what
they're not going to be in Division 1 North, surely. No,
yeah, the teams that are going to get relegated, I think Corby and Ilkeston will be coming into the South quickly.
You reckon Ilkeston will go into the... Oh, you reckon Corby will go into the South? Do you think they're not going to get...
Because chances are we're going to end up with Peterborough as well, so that'd be...
Will Corby not be too south to be the most...
Not compared to what we've had already this season. Let's be honest, we're rushing the diamonds, so we can't get much worse.
Corby's not that much...
Well, I'll make a prediction. I don't think we'll have to worry about Ilson, because I think Ilson will be...
There is rumour of a takeover, and, you know, that's...
Did you start it?
No, Mark Duffy's been talking about it. He's been talking about it.
The Duff man.
He was talking about it probably by September.
I know.
And it's now starting to happen. Look, so,
listen, if they can manage to do something, then maybe the division...
It's a big club.
I can't see it.
But as a club, they've got the fan base there. They've got the experience and that kind of thing.
A clock tower on the ground.
If they just look like they just need a bit of confidence, and then they would kick on.
I was amazed a couple of weeks ago. I was at Stalybridge Station at the buffet bar drinking a cracking bar. Yeah, I was drinking there. It is a cracking bar.
What about peas? Black peas and vinegar?
We were on our way to Halifax to watch Curzon, and a lot of Ilkeston fans were there who were going to go and watch Aston United. I was amazed by the sheer amount of them, and given everything that's gone on, a massive pat on the back to all them, because they're all singing songs, but they were singing songs, they're in numbers, a lot of them wearing black suits because it was the club's funeral apparently, but they had a great sense of humour, and fair play for them to stick in with it. I think they deserve a big shout out, because the fans deserve better than
the fans are great, the clubs are great club.
What I say about Ilkeston is whatever happens in the future, they need to map out a course as regards what sort of route they're going to actually do. Are they going to go through this youth style of football and academy sort of thing, or are they going to be a more traditional non-league side?
Because you can have the academy stuff as well.
Of course you can, yeah, and that can be a supplement to it, but they need to work out what they want to do.
The three that are guaranteed to be, so well, two of them that are guaranteed to be in the South and one depending on situations. Peterborough Sports have had three promotions in three seasons, and apparently they've got the backing behind them as well. I'm not saying just financially, but they've got a good team with clout coming forward, a good set of fans. So again, if they do come into our league, they are going to be a massive, massive addition. You've also got Alchurch, who are a team, again, a village team, who have come from pretty much nothing and built themselves in at the same time. Moving on to the other three teams, obviously Aston Colliery we'll mention in a second.
Go on, the other Colliery's.
We've got two teams that are in the FA Vars final joining the Northern League, the Premier League next year. Obviously we don't know what's happening with Cleethorpes yet. They might go into the North or the South, see where we're going with this.
That's going to be the South. If Gould is the South.
Not Gould in the North though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
That's what I mean.
Gould changes every season.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with them yet, but it's still, obviously the FA hasn't decided, but Cleethorpes and South Shields both coming into our league, both are going to be massive threats. South Shields more than
South Shields will be. Well, I mean,
well, let's go to Division One North then.
See what I mean by segue.
Anything else to add, Simo, before we go about Division One South of interest? It was nice to hear from the Loughborough Dynamo manager.
What a way to get out of it. Four wins in a row to stay. Yeah. Absolutely remarkable.
And last half an hour, because Rugby were winning that game before they dropped away.
Absolutely.
It's a bit unfair, it is a bit unsporting, really.
20th.
Rugby are winning.
Loughborough finished 20th 2 years on the trot now.
Yeah.
They cannot finish there again, can they? Oh, we should say commiserations to Rugby Town and Northridge Victoria as well. Hope they bounce back soon.
After 35 years for Rugby as well. They're back into the counties.
Let's move on then to Division 1 North, and can I throw a curveball out? Because we've seen a lot of teams this year from Division 1 North. Prescott Cables. Prescott Cables, I was amazed when I went to see them. Just the vibe in the stands. It was a very young crowd, ultras if you will, and they were playing good football.
Listen, I mean, Prescott Cables, we've seen them a couple of times this season. We saw them at the very early beginning of the season, they were awful. They had about 85 supporters watching them.
I was excited to be there because it was like, what are these young people doing here with all the pyrotechnics and flags? What are all this lot doing here?
They're actually travelling as well. So we had Prescott last day of the season at home, crowd of 200. The number of Prescott Cables fans that were travelling
was about 200.
It's nice to see a club who, again, used to be in the Premier season after season.
They've had 80 to 90 supporters most of the season. The last part of the season,
they've done something has happened.
400. What, week in, week out, and playing absolute.
They've been playing
on a really tough pitch, top draw football, and they finished 16th. We all thought, we all sat around this table 2 months ago with that 3-point deduction to go to the bottom four. We thought that's it, they're doomed, and all of a sudden, the supporters all came back, and the football that they started playing, it was top of the division football. They battered Lancaster convincingly.
So we started off at Division 1 North with a team in 16th. I just wanted to get that off my chest because it was something that's been playing on my mind since I ever went there.
And we had skills on us as well.
In third position, staying in the league is Scarborough Athletic. Are they going into next season now favourites? They're in the new stadium. They're back in the town of Scarborough. They've got to be favourites, haven't they? Given the turnaround that they've had from last season.
Shields are favourites.
Come on.
Let's be brutally honest about it.
South Shields have not officially joined this league yet.
But
we're here for MPL sides.
South Shields are still the favourites for next year.
Thing is, Scarborough just scraped into the playoffs, my personal opinion. They were going like 3 games to go, about 7th or 8th. And they literally got the home advantage on the last day. And then in the semi-finals.
It's quite a big turnaround for Scott, because I'm sure last season
they were struck.
They finished 17th, 18th.
One or two things for Scarborough. Scarborough will be right up there, and I'm talking between top and third next season. Or the pressure of being in a new ground, and everyone knows the pressure of being in a brand new ground, going back, and there's a lot of pressure on people in order to actually achieve. It's great that they're going back to the ground. I think they've sold out everything for the foreseeable future. They're going to be up there because hopefully the finances, the fan-owned football club, will wish them very well equally. And I'd like to see them do well because, you know,
yeah.
I mean, the trial and tribulations of a football club, you know, from where they are now to where they used to be, you want them to do well. And it's all down, and the thing is, this is down to one thing and one thing only. You have to remember one thing about supporter-owned football clubs. It's down to one thing and one thing only. The supporters. The supporters will take them back to where they once were.
Ossett Town did remarkably well to get into the playoffs. They did even more remarkably well to get to the playoff final and nearly win it, if the truth be known. Can that carry on next season? Can Grant Black build on that for next year, Roy?
If Grant Black is still there,
I
would say there's every chance that he could carry it on. Whether or not the finances are there to sustain it is another thing, and I don't like to harp on about it because I believe it's about the commitment and the heart of the players wanting to play for the manager as well as the team, and I put the manager first prior to the team. Most players do go to football clubs because of the associations and the respect for the managers. Me personally, I think they'll be there or thereabouts. I don't think they're nailed on one. If I was going to... I feel that Clitheroe fall into that category as well, to be honest. If I'm going to look at anybody...
This is two seasons on the trot now where Clitheroe have...
Yeah, they're teetering there, but they're right at the end of the leash, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Did Clitheroe remind you of Buxton a little bit, in the way that they kind of always teeter in, you think, oh, this is their year?
The one who reminds me of Buxton is Trafford.
Yeah.
To be honest. But I've got to say this, the biggest tick about Trafford is the backroom staff and the people who run the club. They're so stable and have really good faith in the appointments that they make as managers on the football side, that it gives them that real good stability. And
if Tom Baker stays there,
he will stay there.
And that's the big factor going forward.
There's a plan there, and Tom Baker, what is his second season as a football manager? Trafford will be right up there at the very top of this season. But I still concur with a team that aren't actually yet in this division. The man that Flanagan said. South Shields, Graham Fenton's the manager. They've got Arkablade for them, ex-Premier League football. They've got bags of money, but they've got a good fan base. they are going to be absolutely unstoppable. It's a juggernaut. I'm doing a Burke here. They're a juggernaut. 10 points, love. 10 points. They're a juggernaut. They can't be stopped. It's as simple as that. They can't be stopped. They'll win it by a mile. In fact, they'll beat Spennymoor to it. They're in the same division.
Stanage.
Anyway. I know. That's what
if you base it on finance, on South Shield should follow the model of going Division 1 North straight through Premier and up again. They should.
They got all the way there and they folded before. However, this time round,
have we got a look at somebody like Cohen as well? They've been threatening this season.
Can I throw another name in that ring where you're saying people we need to look at? Brighouse are another team that have got, again, reasonably decent investment. They had an experienced squad to finish the season and obviously just didn't quite get in. They weren't that far away. They were only four points away in the end. They've not been an Evo Stick team for that long. But they're another team with fans. And again, a bit like Roy, I don't like to keep bleating on about finance, but it is so important. And they've got it, and they'll be in the mix as a result.
You don't have to buy the league. But there's certain areas, like your goalkeeper, your centre midfield, your forwards. You need that little bit of help, you know, to sustain those sort of positions, because those sort of positions are the ones that help the other ones to knit in there, and that's where you get your stability in your forward movement.
Just to throw in a couple of other names, I will get to Radcliffe, I promise.
No, I'm going to say, with the last day of the season, we could have been sat here now with any of the top nine saying completely anything at all, coming down to the last day of the season.
That's what you're going to do anyway.
Obviously, went down to the last day of the season. He had the top nine.
It was
undecided.
Shall we talk about the last one then, or we're not mentioned yet? Gossip North End.
Well, I mean, the managers step down as far as you can. And you know what? What I actually do, I appreciate managers. We saw from a Blythe perspective, a great manager stepping down, said, "I've taken as far as I can. I want someone to take over the mantle." We've seen with Glossop, I've got as far as I can. So someone else to take over the mantle. Taking them over in a decent way, I do believe, though, I think the next manager of Glossop is going to completely get rid of that team because they're too old.
En masse,
they are an FC United team. They're too old. But the same token, it's nice to see managers that go, "I've done what I can. I love the football club."
Quite a big fan base, considering from where they were. And it's important for them to sustain. I'm just not sure whether, given the way everything's going, for the next season at least, they'll be up in that mix. I think it'll be a case of consolidating.
Let me, the team we've forgotten about here.
I've not forgotten about them. I'm going to talk about them.
You know, who?
Bamber Bridge.
Good point, well made. Were you wrong?
Yes.
Want to talk about something?
You were going to say Hyde United.
Hyde, they've gone through trials and tribulations. They've gone through many managers. They're in a situation where they're now, with the new 3G pitch, financially stable because they've obviously got a lot of money coming in and will have over the next few years. They're a phenomenal football club. And they've got a manager who, for me, oozes football class. He is so passionate. He comes up and talks week in, week out. They've got a great backroom staff now. They've got a great youth team coming through. They've got half the team have been playing at Abbey A, who gave Atherton Collieries a great game last week on their penultimate game before, their game of when they won the league. They're a team, I'm not saying they're going to win the league, and I don't think they win the league. I've spoken to Roy about it, and Roy and me are in slight disagreement to a degree, but I take on board everything Roy normally says, because he's normally pretty spot on. But I do think they will be challenging this season. I think that they've got a real opportunity. They're playing some great football. They've got some good kids in there.
Bamber Bridge, we saw the cup final, and they were...
Oh, Bamber Bridge.
What a game that was.
What a game. What a young manager. It's just great to see managers like that. They've got so much about them. And they can
wearing a tie and a brand new shirt as well.
You know what? And looking the part. Yeah. And talking the part. And his team played against the Grantham team.
He's talking. He in that interview we did with him, he was talking about kicking on for next season, using that silverware.
Oh, they
want
to. There's no question about it. And you know what? Why can't they? If they can keep that team together, they've got some cracking players in there. Milligan, what a goal for Milligan!
Not only that, they'll have Wadicka back at full strength as well, because he's missed the majority of the season.
Any more to mention? I mean, Kendall Town. We could mention Drolsden. I mean, Colwyn Bay
have underachieved massively this year. They should. They have to have a better season next season.
We've seen Drolsden on several times this season.
They play good football.
My goodness me, they play football.
Let's be fair. We've just dedicated 15 minutes there to Division 1 North, and there is an elephant. There is an elephant in the room. We've not mentioned him yet. Mosley, I mean, what do you think? Everything going all right, Radcliffe? Yeah.
We won more than
good. That's covered. Right. Okay.
We won more than we drew. That's good for us.
Just to mention the teams coming down from the MPL Premier. Skem are definitely going to be in Division 1 North, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frickley, question mark, but probably. Yeah.
The North and the South come next season are going to be pretty much equal strength, I feel. There's not going to be much difference between the two.
And so that is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for the 2016-17 season. A big thank you to everyone who's been involved with the show. Can't quite think. Should I name everyone?
Go on, name them. Name them, Ben. Go on.
We can't name the
2.5
million that paid attention to the last week of the season.
Can you believe that, by the way? What is that stat? Tell that 2.5 million.
From the awards to the playoff finals, on Twitter, Facebook, and everything like that, 2.5 million people at least saw the post, listened to the radio, everything like that.
Did they download our the podcast?
If you go on the iTunes store,
seven of them.
If you go on the if you go on the iTunes store, and
that means one of us didn't hit there.
If you go on the iTunes store and look at the podcast popularity, the last four shows have been the most popular of the season.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And there's a million more people that will pay attention this year than at this point last year as well. So it just shows what standard of football
we're playing. Did you say a million?
A million more people from last year.
On Twitter, we'll list everyone who's been involved with this show. There is too many people to mention it. It has been brilliant. But round this table, a big thank you to Aaron Flanagan, who's now leaving us.
This is me done. The last time you'll ever hear me.
Free.
Ever. Thank God. Yeah, yeah.
What's been your favourite memory of the three years? 3 years of doing
this. You're
on the old one too. What? This is better, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Remember, yeah. The best bit is normally when I get up and leave.
Good. Good point, well made.
I agree.
We were saying the same.
Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Roy
He's
Sewell.
Going nowhere. He's saying that paper.
Hey, I'm coming back in the Premier Division.
Yeah, well done.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Hey, promotion for him.
It's like that film Judge Dredd, isn't it? You've been out in the desert.
Oh, no.
And you come
I'm
back
so
in,
excited.
In from the cold. Roy Sewell, Mr. Non-League, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ben.
Swamper. Richard from Altrincham, thank you. And welcome to the family.
Thank you. Looking forward to August already.
Bet you are. Bring your sleeping bag next time. You know, and James Hayes, social media officer for the Northern Premier League. Thank you for joining us.
And Ben, I've had 6 years of this, so you're welcome.
Ben,
I'd like to say thank you.
It's okay. We've not got that kind of relationship.
Thank
Let's
you,
leave
Ben,
it there.
Even though you was late.
Thank you. But from everyone here on the NPL show, we hope you have a lovely summer. Enjoy the cricket and rugby league, and you'll be seeing us again in August.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.